Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender in for Neil Stavem today. I'm hoping he's enjoying his 15th plate of leftovers this morning.
Is that what he's doing? Eating all day?
I hope so. I mean, it's Monday and there are still a few potatoes left in my refrigerator, but that is about it. Those go fast.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, the leftovers are it's kind of the best part about Thanksgiving, some people would say.
Yes, even that first meal that you get to have later in the day in Thanksgiving, the first one and then the first leftover meal, those are the best things.
Oh, yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving this year?
Thanks for asking. It was good. We got together with some good friends of ours. Family was out of town, the extended family, but my wife and daughters and I had a great time just being with some good friends of ours. So, yeah.
And a little bit of football. I hear the Vikings were on.
That was very fun for me. I'm a big fan, so yes.
They were on in my house too, but I was thinking of Ted because I know he's such a huge fan. I was busy cooking. It was the first time in my life that I had to host Thanksgiving.
Really?
So I avoided it until this point. I didn't even want to tell you how old I am, but it's nearing a big number, and I have avoided it until this time. And I'm happy to say I think it went pretty well.
Good. That's great. Did you have some help?
I had some help. Mm-hmm. I had, a wonderful sister-in-law who helped clean. My husband, of course, just said yes, dear, at least 500 times that day, which was always nice. And my kids were even a big help. So, yes, we had some great help. And just it's so wonderful to have a house full of people that smells good and like turkey and stuffing and all of those good things. But mostly it's just great to have your family there.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you make some good memories. And I think back to growing up and I have a lot of fond memories of just being with family and enjoying. Even one year we did serving. You know, we went down to the area that was distributing meals to people that were in need. And that's a great thing for your kids to experience too and be a part of. So,
yep, we did that with our kids as well one year. And, that's a great way to have, especially your morning. And Thanksgiving is such a long day, and you might have an opportunity to be able to do some serving and cook a meal and have the leftovers.
Yeah, perfect. That's good. Well, we're having a little trouble connecting with our guest right now, but you can go ahead and speak to the topic for a second, Joe, at least, and we'll see if we can get this person on the line for us.
Sure. Well, today we're going to talk about a very challenging, something that's challenging for all of us, and that's the subject of temptation. And we're also going to talk about how do we get through temptation and not succumb to it. How often do you read your Bible? That's a really good question to ask because there's a connection between not succumbing to temptation and reading your Bible. And we are very blessed to have Dr. Arnie Cole join us today. He's the CEO of Back to the Bible, and he's also the Director of Research and Development for the Center for Bible Engagement. So what they do is they study why does reading the Bible help you in several different situations. Temptation, of course, avoiding temptation is one of them. And we are going to chat with him about that. We just had him on the line about 15 minutes ago, so we're not sure what happened, but Chris is going to try very faithfully to grab him. Maybe in the meantime, what should we do?
Yes, well, normally we play a different highlight at the end of the show. Perhaps we could do that first here and then come back and see if we can connect with Arnie. So,
well, that sounds like a great idea. So we're going to talk about a conversation that Neil had with Joseph Nayem about his experience planting churches and ministering to Syrian refugees in Lebanon.
Today on Connecting Faith, we have the opportunity to meet a fellow brother in Christ who is pastoring the Free Church of Lebanon, Joseph Nayem. The Evangelical Free Church of Lebanon has been a missionary sending church. He's been working in church planting. And one of the big challenges in that area, as you know, if you've paid attention at all to news, know that Syrian refugees have flooded into Lebanon. So we're going to find out a little bit about that. But Joseph, first of all, it's good to meet you. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the ministry and the heart for planting churches, because that's really what you've been called to do, right?
Yeah. Well, I have been leading the Free Evangelical Church since 23 years now. And when I came after the seminary, God has put on my heart to reach out to the Arab people in the Middle East and North Africa. And I started pastoring the mother.
Well, I apologize for jumping around here, but Dr. Arne Cole is available now, so we're going to jump in. You'll hear that segment at the end of our show today with Neil Stavem talking to Joseph Naeem. So, Dr. Cole, are you joining us now?
I am.
Oh, great. We thought we lost you there for a minute, but I'm sure you just jogged around the building real quick, and here you are.
Here I am. I actually, that's what I did.
Well, I've talked a little bit about the subject we're going to talk about today, which is how Bible engagement can help us to avoid temptation. I haven't told everyone all of the great things that you've done, though, so I'm going to quick read your bio, and then we'll get into the conversation, okay?
Sure.
So Dr. Arne Cole, he currently serves as the CEO for Back to the Bible and Director of Research and Development for the Center for Bible Engagement, located in Lincoln, Nebraska. Dr. Cole has been active for most of his professional life in developing methodologies, processes, and best practices to instill significant behavioral change in individuals. He holds a Doctor of Education in Institutional Management from Pepperdine University. He's also been the CEO of Mega Voice and Vice President of Development of Mission Aviation Fellowship. So, Dr. Cole, welcome back to Connecting Faith. It's great to have you here.
Well, thanks, Joe. It's great to be here.
So I was reading just so many of the things that you've researched, and you're engaged at Back to the Bible and the Center of Bible Engagement, specifically in how does the Bible help us, or being engaged with the Bible, help us to avoid temptation? Can you talk a little bit about what led you to that research? And it looks like it's been ongoing for a number of years.
Yeah, you know, I've always been curious. I'm a relatively new believer. I've been a Christ follower for 19 years. And, you know, you look at a group of 10 guys and eight of them, their lives are messed up. They're not on fire for Jesus. And then there's these two guys whose lives have completely transformed. And they're like on fire for Jesus. They're reaching out to others. And yet they all attend church. They all go to the same men's group. And so I was, as a believer, really curious, are there things you can do that really help transform your life? And then at the same time, when I started at Back to the Bible, our Bible teacher then, Dr. Woodrow Kroll, he was concerned why so many Christians own Bibles and never read them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of as a researcher, it was like, well, so what? So what if Christians own Bibles and never read them? You know, I mean, does that really make a difference? And it was the quest for the answer to that question that launched our Center for Bible Engagement, and we started looking at all the spiritual practices. We ran 100 different spiritual practices to see what made a difference in people's lives. And the difference we were looking at was behavior, in other words, evidence of salvation. And so running all these variables, we found only one thing that made a difference. And that was how you handled your Bible. Matter of fact, that's the best predictor of where you are spiritually, is how you engage your Bible. So it's transformed us at Back to the Bible. It's just been really very, very exciting, Joe.
Well, and the statistics are fascinating. You write that someone who engages with their Bible four or more times a week is 228% more likely to share their faith with others. They're 400% more likely to memorize scripture, 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. And I think what we're going to talk about a lot today is 59% less likely to view pornography.
That's right. It's, you know, I feel the bottom line is, the best thing you can do for yourself is to biblically connect your heart to Jesus. And, you know, you hear so many voices in your life, and Satan can pose as the angel of light and throw people off. But for us, and what we've been able to see by research, I think we've looked at now 500,000 people's spiritual lives, is that the Bible helps people discern the voice of the Holy Spirit from anything else. And in that case, then, if it's done four or more times a week, their lives radically change. And so, and don't get me wrong here, Joe, sending your kid to Christian school, which my parents did for me, we read the Bible every day. That doesn't necessarily work. What we're talking about is you read the Bible you reflect on it, and then you respond it into your life. And those people that did that four more times a week, their lives look radically different than anybody else.
Boy, and it really makes you think about a lot of those ways that we learned growing up, at least I've learned in group Bible studies, to how to apply scripture to your prayer life. And what you're talking about seems like that would be very sufficient. That would be a really good way to engage with your Bible, is to not only read about the scripture, to meditate on it, and then to write that prayer right back to God using that scripture. Would that be a great way to engage with your Bible?
Oh, that's a fabulous way to engage with your Bible. You know, but our goal is to do whatever we can to get you to engage your Bible on a daily basis.
Well, and the research is just, it just really touches your heart, because you realize how we have this tool right in front of us. Some of us have 1, 2, 7, 8 Bibles at the drop of a hat in our homes, on our phones. We have apps for Bibles. We have it available online, and yet we're still not engaging in it. What have you found is keeping people from engaging with their Bibles?
You know, the biggest thing is they tell us they have no time. They tell us they think the Bible's important. They don't have a problem with it. They just have no time. Sometimes we'll hear excuses. They're so busy doing ministry, they have no time to engage the Bible. So it's especially in the U.S., the Bible just simply isn't a priority. In fact, when we ask people, how do you help yourself grow spiritually, the Bible is listed around number 7. First, it's usually the pastor, and then the maybe the Sunday school teacher or the small group leader, and it goes on, maybe a book on it, and all of that, and the Bible comes in 7th. Mm. And so really what we're talking about is a Christ follower learning to feed themselves.
Well, we're going to talk about how that Christ follower can learn to feed themselves and what the benefits will be to engaging with your Bible. Very happy today to be talking with Dr. Arnie Cole from Back to the Bible and his study on Bible engagement and how it can drastically and positively affect our lives as Christ followers. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender in for Neil Stavem today. Pleased to be talking with Dr. Arnie Cole today from Back to the Bible about the Word of God and how powerful it is, its power to influence those who pick it up. However, Dr. Cole, you found that not everyone picks up their Bible, and yet the Bible is the key to spiritual growth, you found in one study. So how does one measure spiritual growth?
You know, it's a lot of people think it's real tricky, but how we define as researchers spiritual growth is if you move closer to Jesus today than you were yesterday. And using that definition, it allows us to measure where people are spiritually from all lifestyles, from all walks of life, from anywhere in the world. And so from that, we can measure then behaviors and influences, what they do. Maybe they attend church, maybe they don't, maybe, you know, all of the different variables that a person has. And what we look for then are struggles that block people from moving closer to Jesus today than they were yesterday. And then if we can, when we disciple people, we develop apps for churches and parachurch ministries. If we can get Bible verses based on where a person is struggling and where they want to grow and push them out to them several times during the day, we can see that we can get them engaged in Scripture and their lives can radically transform.
So when you're looking specifically at Bible engagement and how it helps people avoid temptation, for example, talk a little bit about how engaging with your Bible would help a person who maybe had an addiction or had a betraying thought or maybe was in a compromising situation. How would engaging with their Bible help them to forego that temptation?
We have done such fascinating research on temptation. I could go on for hours and hours, but bottom line, most people are the experts on their temptation life. They know when they're the weakest during the day. They know certain people are cause them great temptation. And so what we've been able to do is we've built this discipleship app that pushes scripture to you during the times that you're most tempted. So some guys, it's 10 at night when the wife and the kids are sound asleep and they've got their computer to themselves. Other people, it's at lunchtime or after work when maybe they go out and party. And so what we do is we push scripture that helps remind them who they are and what their spiritual life is all about and their walk with Jesus. And so the goal is just to help them move closer today than they were yesterday, or basically win the day spiritually, if that makes sense, Joe.
Oh, that makes total sense. In fact, you know, this temptation, it leaves no one untouched, regardless of age or stage of life. It may be the thing that we're tempted on might be different, but temptation is really universal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We use the definition of temptation as thinking about things that you know are wrong for you. And 95% of the world from all walks of life, Muslim, any background, agrees with that. And so people will tell you that they have these great struggles. Now, one thing interesting about temptation, the older you get, you're still tempted, but not nearly as frequent as someone who's in their 18 to 25. And so we find the average 50-year-old has two or three struggles a week with temptation that they tell us, but the average 20-year-old has seven different types of temptations that they struggle with on a weekly basis. So their lives are kind of filled with drama. It's much harder for them to move closer to Jesus today than they were yesterday. And so they need some help. And scripture always keeps us focused on Jesus.
So you list focusing on scripture, reading your Bible, reflecting on what it says. How does prayer factor into this, avoiding temptation?
Prayer is very good if used correctly, if it's biblically based. And we find that a person who's engaged in scripture kind of gets it, whereas someone who doesn't use the Bible as the basis, they say they're a Christian, they may be, they'll tell you such things as, you know, the Holy Spirit really convicted me to leave my wife and kids and to go off with my secretary and convicted me that this was the right thing to do because blah, blah, blah. And we see this all the time. If people don't connect their prayer life to the Bible, it can become very problematic. And Satan kind of gets his way in there and people get confused. Then their lives become a mess, and they blame it, of course, on, well, this Christianity thing doesn't work, and so they're off walking away from their faith.
So, Dr. Cole, you write that temptation frequently finds a way to deceive us and kind of knock us off course, and then before we know it, we're kind of paralyzed. But aren't Christians supposed to be different? Why don't we experience less anxiety or less despair or less rage?
Actually, we do if you're engaged in scripture. We find that people are tempted as much, but not as long, which is huge. So you'll find somebody who struggles with anger. They still have the anger thing, but the Holy Spirit tends to help them get control of it. And they may have one or two times during the day that they struggle with their anger, but boom, it goes away. Whereas someone who's not focused on Jesus, who says they're a Christian, they may end up struggling two or three hours every day with anger. And we find the same thing with porn and internet porn is you will find people that guys that are engaged in porn, and they pastors even, and they get lost spiritually because they haven't biblically connected their hearts to Jesus on a daily basis.
What's the difference between someone being tempted and someone actually falling into sin?
Joe, that's a great question. I was talking at a men's group in New York, and there were two lawyers, and they were, when does temptation become a sin? And the one guy said, well, if a naked lady walked across the street, I think you could look at her for 30 seconds and it would be a temptation, but it wouldn't be sin. And the other guy said, well, I think it'd be a minute. And anyways, they got up to 5 minutes, and I said, no, you have to picture that your wife's in the car with you. Well, then it was like 5 seconds. So, you know, being tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. The yield time, when it becomes, turns into action, I don't know. Most people seem to tell me around 15 seconds. There are some times when you can't help but be tempted. You see something by accident or something, and it's what you do afterwards with it that is the problem. And the more something blocks you from Jesus, the worse off your day's going to be.
Well, and it definitely seems that if we are engaging in God's word, then those words are in our mind and can counteract those temptations that continue to hit us. In fact, some of your studies say that people may have anywhere from 1 to 10 different times during the day where they're going to feel tempted or be encouraged somewhere in their mind to think thoughts that might be considered wrong. So that in that way, having that scripture in our minds or coming through an app, that's going to help us to be engaged with what God would want for us for our lives, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I work with a lot of pastors who will spend, let's say, from 6 to 7 in the morning in the Word, preparing for their sermons, and then you'll find them at 10 o'clock at night looking at internet porn. And men especially tend to compartmentalize their lives. And what I try to get people to do is to engage in the Bible throughout their day, get out of this compartmentalized kind of lifestyle and more of a lifestyle that is completely focused on Jesus.
Well, and there's nothing more frustrating than if you decide you're going to have your quiet time later on in the night and you find yourself being angry throughout the day and then open up your Bible and sure enough, you're reading about anger. How great that would have been had you read it a little earlier at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
That's when I think God's a little bit funny.
You can't change yesterday, and it's hard to change tomorrow, but you can sure focus and win the day today. And that's what we try to help people do. Is to move closer to Jesus today than they were yesterday.
Well, I'm talking with Dr. Arnie Cole today. He's the CEO of Back to the Bible, also Director of Research and Development for the Center for Bible Engagement. We're talking about Bible engagement, not only how it can help you to be more calm maybe throughout the day, how it can help you avoid temptation, whatever yours may be, but also how it can help you to engage with our living Lord. Well, we're going to talk more about some tactics and some ways that we can better engage with our Bibles. Keep that in the front of your mind throughout the day. We'll be back with Dr. Arnie Cole in just a minute.
And the Word is, and the Word will be.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender and for Neil Stavem today. We're talking with Dr. Arnie Cole today about engaging with our Bibles. You know, everyone struggles with temptations, but what if there were a proven strategy that could help us deal with those things that tempt us? Well, you might be surprised to know that the tool is right at our fingertips. It's engaging with our own Bibles. Dr. Cole, you listed some temptations that men struggle with, that women might struggle with other temptations. In fact, women namely struggle with gossip or maybe overeating. Of course, none of which or some of those accounted for about 10%, you said, of the total responses. What are some of the other things that women specifically might struggle with when it comes to temptation?
Worry. Worry is a big, heavy hitter with women, and worry about the future tends to consume a lot of their time. It's kind of ironic when I speak to men's groups, you know, especially younger guys, 70% of them, even the married guys, struggle with pornography. And, you know, you look at the spiritual assessment of their wives, and they struggle with worry and fear.
Mm.
And it's you start diving in, and even though the husband has never told the wife that he messes with pornography and she's never caught him, she worries that something is wrong in their relationship. She can't put her finger on it. And the husband is saying, no, I love you, everything is great. And so it's, you know, I tell guys, you think you're getting away with it, but it is not only destroying your spiritual life, it's really hurting your spouse's spiritual life as well, because they can sense something is wrong. So worry and anxiety is a big thing that we find in women. In older women, we see there's a strong temptation to be bitter. And that actually tends to increase. Another phenomena that we're seeing is women tend to, if they get biblically engaged, will, as they get older, they start to grow spiritually and become strong. We find that if you can't reach a man by the time he's 26 or 27, that then it actually goes down the odds of them being on fire for Jesus or living a life that is worthy of following. And it's and you know, we think a lot of that has to do with living a lie with this struggles with pornography and things like that. So it to me, it's a big deal in people's spiritual lives, starting at about 12 years old for the guys. It's pretty devastating.
So if we're losing some younger men, if they haven't engaged with scripture by the time they're 26 and really been on fire for God, at least at some point, how can we better engage those 20 somethings to convince them that reading the Word of God, meditating on it, is really going to be a helpful tool to deal with all of these different temptations in their lives?
That's a great question, Joe. We don't just do research to point out problems. We do research to solve problems. We've developed a daily discipleship tool, Bible engagement tool called GoTandem that we give away. We have we've just put in about $1 million, and we have a new version coming out in January. But basically, it helps people move closer to Jesus each day, pushing out scripture throughout their day, and it, you know, it's a free thing, and we've tested it on about 250,000 people, and interestingly enough, we found that 26% of the people that use the app tell us they're not a Christian. They tell us they don't believe in Jesus, and yet they still use the app. Another 30% tell us that they're a Christian, but they have no evidence of faith, their life's not working, and so from a practical standpoint, we consider them not saved. So you've got 56% of the people in the app that we're trying to get engaged in scripture on a daily basis that aren't believers, and we've had some great success using cellular platforms, you know, your smartphone, as a discipleship platform.
Well, and that does seem like a great way to engage really virtually anyone, but especially those who are very connected to their smartphone apps. And how would people find out more information about how to get these resources from Back to the Bible?
They could go to backtothebible.org, or they could go to gotandem.com, which is, we have iOS and Android smartphone apps, and they can download it, take the little survey, and our biggest users, of course, are under 35, and we have a lot of, you can adjust how many scripture pushes you get throughout the day, We have some people that get as many as 12. And then we can actually monitor how people are doing and if they're growing. And in our new version, we're making it so it's easy to disciple someone else inside the app. Barna found this discovery that was very upsetting to a lot of us researchers, that most mature believers don't share their faith. Okay, most believers don't share their faith. And then the ones that do, 90% of them, it's not biblically accurate. And that's and so in other words, they're witnessing, but it's not, they're not sharing Jesus of the Bible. So in their witnessing, an example is they may say this is one way to get to heaven, or you know, the Muslims and Christians all believe in the same God, and it just they mean well, but it's not depicting Jesus and what he said. So we've included this new feature that's coming out in January where you can actually disciple another person so that it gets both of you biblically accurate and biblically connected.
Well, that sounds like just a great resource for people to be able to use and very easy to get as well. You know, you write about the power of four effect, and how did you figure out that it was four or more times a week that people would engage with their Bible that would give them this life-affirming understanding of who God is and who they are?
So that was so crazy. We started doing this research, and immediately, just like when they discovered that cigarette smoking caused cancer, we used the same kind of scientific stuff. And we found, wow, there is a huge difference. When, you know, we ran attending church, we ran all of these things, and we ran the Bible. And people that read the Bible were no different than atheists and all of that. At that time, I was working with a world-class researcher. His name was Jim Engel, did the Engel Scale of Evangelism, and just a great guy. He said, Arnie, let's break up the days. Let's see if there's a difference. Just like in cigarette smoking, you know, somebody smokes a half a pack or a pack. Let's see if there's a difference. So we started looking, and what we found, 0 to 3, there really wasn't much different. 4 or more, there was a significant difference, so strong that we thought we were wrong. And we had, we had looked at maybe 30, done three tests of 30,000 people. We had the people that produce the software come out and review our studies, and they said, no, it's actually stronger than you even reported. And so from there, it's we presented our findings all over the world. The big thing is when I'm in secular circles, I'll say the Bible, but then at the end of my presentation, I'll say, well, you know, it's not the Bible, it's Jesus Christ that transforms people's lives. And we've had lots and lots of scrutiny from the academic world. And I remember we were asked to present at the University of Tel Aviv, and one of the medical schools in the U.S. reviewed our research, and they said, oh, really, you're just showing that the best liars are people that engage the Bible because they know how to answer your questions. So well, we had fortunately built in what we call an L factor or a lie factor, and we gave them our evidence that, no, these people aren't lying, that their lives really are different and their lives are transformed. And from there, it was accepted. And then we presented at the University of Tel Aviv and to a bunch of think tanks in Israel. And it was just, it's been really an exciting journey in the secular field. A little disappointing to us in the Christian field. It's not as widely accepted, and I'm not exactly sure why, but we've got a little bit more work to do in that area.
Well, it seems like such a great cause and effect that if you're experiencing difficulty in this area, read your Bible, engage in his word, and pray, and you will be able to see some significance. So it seems like a great cause and effect research that you're providing for all of us.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, let me tell you.
Well, I just thank you so much, Dr. Cole, for being able to join us and talk to us about Bible engagement. We're so grateful for the time that you've taken and also for all the studies that you've provided. But I think people are going to be looking to getting that app on their phone, and I'm going to get it on mine as well because I want to experiment with how great it's going to be to get some little nuggets throughout the day, especially when I need them most. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Joe, for having us on the show.
Mm-hmm. You are welcome. Well, we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender in for Neil Stavem today. Well, we just had a great conversation with Dr. Arnie Cole today about really how engaging with our Bible can help us to avoid so many pitfalls in life, specifically with temptation. He had just done some excellent studies, some work on that. You can go to backtothebible.org and click on that. You'll be able to find an app that you can put on your phone that's actually going to send a scripture to you at different times during the day when you feel you need it the most. So really great conversation with Dr. Arnie Cole. Well, up next, we'll hear Neil's conversation with Joseph Najem about his experience planting churches and ministering to Syrian refugees in Lebanon.
Today on Connecting Faith, you have the opportunity to meet a fellow brother in Christ who is pastoring the Free Church of Lebanon, Joseph Najem. The Evangelical Free Church of Lebanon has been a missionary sending church. He's been working in church planting. And one of the big challenges in that area, as you know, if you've paid attention at all to news, know that Syrian refugees have flooded into Lebanon. So we're going to find out a little bit about that. But Joseph, first of all, it's good to meet you. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the ministry and the heart for planting churches, because that's really what you've been called to do, right?
Yeah. Well, I have been leading the Free Evangelical Church since 23 years now. And when I came after the seminary, God has put on my heart to reach out to the Arab people in the Middle East and North Africa. And I started pastoring the mother church of the Free Church in Beirut at that time, and there was the desire to see a mission movement coming out of a national local church. So it took some time to this to kick off, but praise God, now as we look back to these 23 years, we have now 16 full-time workers, church planters in 6 Arab countries, going out of Lebanon, in Lebanon and in Syria, in Jordan, in Kurdistan, Egypt, and the Sudan.
We hear of some of the challenges of living as a Christ follower in, you know, the Middle East and parts of North Africa. So are your pastors in difficult circumstances and a great deal of pressure? Or talk a little bit about what they face.
Yeah, sure. I mean, anytime you are a Christian, or you become a Christian in this part of the world, it's a risk-taking, and you face a lot of persecution, whether on the psychological part or being rejected or, you know, dishonoring the family and things like that. So it's always difficult, but that is part of the discipleship cost, you know, following Christ. In our the team of our workers, we have around 4 people who are from Muslim background. So out of the 16, you have 4 who came out of Islam. And this is also by itself a quite dangerous thing to do. But they have paid the cost for that, and God has called them to be in the ministry. And God is using them tremendously among their own people groups, whether in Kurdistan or in Sudan or in northern Syria.
Tell me a little bit about your faith journey. You've been pastoring now 23 years. How did that come about? Did you grow up in a family that was of Christian faith?
I grew up in a Catholic background, but not practicing Catholics. I was, in business, until God called me to the ministry. And at that time, understanding more my calling, I resigned my job and went to the seminary in Canada. And God prepared me to go back. And I had the desire and the burden to reach out for the Arabs, because in my business background, I used to travel a lot in the Arab world and was praying somehow that God will send people to reach out to them. And praise God, God is doing miraculous things through the churches in Lebanon and elsewhere.
Give us a little sense of what God is doing and what stories are you sharing?
I would like to communicate that God is reaching out to the Muslim world, and that the Muslims and the Arabs are part of God's harvest, and that these are part of the Gentiles' world, and they need to hear the gospel. They are lost without Christ, and it's a special time that God is visiting them in a special way. Sometimes, many times, we have witnessed Muslims talking about having dreams and vision that prepare them to accept the word of God. And we think that it's a time like the time of Acts chapter 10, when God reached out through Peter to go to the Gentiles, to Cornelius. And he was hesitant, but God pushed him to go there. And I think God is pushing us to go there when it's not sometimes with all heart, but we are being prepared. But the church needs to be more prepared to reach out to the Muslims. I think in the future, people from Muslim background who get converted to Christianity will be carrying the gospel to their own people. So I think we need to be aware of that and communicate this message.
We're talking today with Joseph Najem, who serves in Lebanon with the Free Church of Lebanon, and he's a church planter. Joseph, you were talking about not only the push to share the gospel with those from Muslim backgrounds, but God seems to be bringing Muslims and others to you, especially Lebanon, right? Mm-hmm. You've been flooded with refugees from Syria. Talk mm-hmm. about what's happening there.
Yeah, Lebanon is a small country of 4 million population, and we have around 2 million refugees. So 500,000 Palestinian refugees since 1948, and 1.5 million since 2011, they have flooded, coming to Lebanon, finding refuge, running out of the war situation in Syria. And God has brought them, to our doorsteps, and we think this is a great opportunity to share the gospel with them. We have established a ministry called Oasis in different parts of Lebanon, in Beirut and in the Bekaa Valley. Oasis is an entity where we host around 100 to 200 families from Syrian background. Mostly the women, the mothers, come with their children, and we cater for their needs. We also have a type of a school for them on a Saturday, a whole day. And then during the weekdays, we have teams that visit these families and share their stories, listen to them, try to counsel them, and also answer their question about the Christian faith. And we have seen some of them coming to know Christ and touched by the story of Jesus. I mean, they have never read the Bible. I mean, most of them are illiterate, so we are teaching them also the Arabic language, how to write it. And they are very pleased with our ministry to them. And we hope now that we think probably in the next few years they have to be returning back to their country. I mean, we cannot continue to host them. This is very costly on the economy and on the social and demography matters. So we are thinking how to be able to go alongside them and see how God will build his church inside Syria.
You mentioned just the millions of refugees in camps, and think, well, it's wintertime. It's not hot summer in Lebanon either, right? I mean, it's cold, and I assume that many of these have come with nothing but the clothes on their back.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we also try to cater through our partners, churches in the U.S. and elsewhere, to be able to cater for some of their needs, like blankets or heaters or mattresses sometime. We are not a relief agency. We are a church, so we want to be able to respond to that. But we also want to know that they are lost and they need also the right shelter, I mean, coming to know Jesus as their Savior.
What are some of the maybe the big prayer requests that you have, Joseph, for your church, for the church planting, for your ministry to refugees? How could we better pray and come alongside you?
I think if you can pray for our workers, wherever they are, in some dangerous places to God, that God will protect them and really encourage them and uplift them. Sometimes it can be discouraging to work, you know, in situations like that. To pray for the Oasis ministry in Lebanon with the Syrian refugees. To pray also specifically now how we can minister to these refugees and how we can go back with them to Syria in the near future.
Is there an opportunity, do you think, to see the church maybe reestablished in a new way in Syria? That's I know you're looking at all across the Middle East and into the stands, so Syria would be natural, right, to make some inroads there.
I think Syria is facing a renewal in so many facets, whether politically or what they are passing through. And I believe all this furnace can really produce purification in some sense, and even for people in purifying the hearts and refining who they are and what they want from life and what are their aspirations. So it's an examining process in their lives, as I'm sure in every Syrian person who have passed through all these difficulties and lost everything, and now he needs to face a new beginning. And I hope that many will begin with God first of all.
If we want to find out more about you, is there maybe a website or place to connect?
Yes, we have partners here in the U.S., but also we have a website, the freeevangelicalchurch.com, our website.
Freeevangelicalchurch.com.
Yes. And
Joseph Najem, who serves as pastor there and a church planter, and they're working with a ministry now. They've set up a ministry called Oasis, to help the Syrian refugees, which have flooded into Lebanon. So continue to remember to pray for Joseph and those pastors that are seeking to share the good news of the gospel all across the Middle East and North Africa. It's an honor to meet you, Joseph. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, God is always working to transform our lives. But just what might that look like? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Ben Connolly shares some encouragement from Paul in the book of Romans.
I feel like in most circles, discipleship has been relegated to a head knowledge thing, and so we base our holiness on the more we know about God. To look at Romans 12, you know, it's being transformed by the renewing of the mind. And so the renewing of the mind is never the end goal. The transformed life is the end goal there. And so it really is a fruit-focused thing, an action-focused thing. James tells us faith without works is dead. And I think what you see through the scriptures is true transformation. And I feel like that's a picture of true discipleship.
What an interesting perspective. Do you want to learn more about walking more closely with God? Go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today for Connecting Faith. Neil will be back tomorrow. He's going to talk about grace for the afflicted. I hope you'll join him for that show. And on Wednesday, Marching Off the Map with Dr. Tim Elmore. Well, thanks again for listening to Connecting Faith. If you'd like to listen to a podcast of this show or any other, just go to myfaithradio.com. We have several there for you to listen to and lots of resources as well. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.